Thankfulness in our heart, Father. Looking to you, looking to your grace. Looking, O Lord, to your marvelous love in our life. And thanking you, Lord, for all that you have done for us in the past days and years of our life. How the Lord you watch over us. And how the Lord you chose us to be a part of your family. Always grateful, Father, for that. Always, Father, to feel that agape love of yours, to know that we are part of the royal family of God in heaven. We thank you, Lord. This world truly is not our home, just merely passing through. And we are here, Father, set for an example and a witness to the nations of the world, to all those who are about us, of the great love of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So, Father, that our life be before you, Father, Lord, fruitful in Jesus Christ. Fruitful, Lord, according to thy word. So we pray, Father, that you bless us now as you approach thy word and learn a little bit of what transpired in the past. The example set before us by the saints of old and the pathway that they have taken, Lord, throughout the years of their life. Their ups and their downs, and the faithfulness of those saints who hold on fast to thy word, Lord, knowing that in the end of it, it is that which gives life. So, Father, today, likewise to Lord, grant us the strength, grant us that, Lord, power in Christ Jesus to hold fast to the word of life until the day when we see Christ face to face. So, Father, right now, bless us then. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Last Sunday I told you that the spirit of the serpent, that serpentine nature is deeply embedded in the nations of Israel. In the whole 12 tribes, the nation of Israel, the spirit of that serpentine nature was so deeply embedded that it pops out ever so often. And I said, you must look at what you see in the nation of Israel. You are seeing exactly the spiritual Israel of God's church today. It is there. It will never change because of the mixture already that happened even before the flood and after the flood, when mankind, our three sons, began to continue to intermarry and spread out around the world. So all that spontaneous nature can get really embedded deep in some people. But every one of us have a choice to make. We cannot say, well, it's like that. The devil make me do it. No. You have the right to say no. You have the choice to make. Okay, up till 50. Verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And here they murmur again. No water, they grumble. Instead of approaching Moses in faith and said, let us pray, ask the Lord to keep us, provide water. No. The first thing they do, they grumble. That's the first thing. And so Moses in verse 23, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter, because Marah means bitter as well. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree which he had cast into the water, and water will make sweet. When he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and from there he proved them, and said, if thou wilt willingly hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandment, and keep all his statute, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptian, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, the water in that place was bitter. Now, anytime when something is bitter, have you ever tasted vegetable that is bitter? You find it so good, it was bitter. You know what causes the bitterness? Especially nice vegetable like kai lan, chai sin, which is supposed to be sweet. And when it tastes bitter, you know that there's a lot of pesticide in it, actually. You know, and that's why they couldn't drink water. And so Moses was told to cut down the tree, you know, the tree that was there. Actually, it's the word tree. The Bible used the word tree. It was actually a piece of stump of wood from a tree. So they took it and they threw it into the water and it became sweet. And here what we have seen is that was a symbolism, a top in the shadows, that the tree represents Christ. And the water represents the people. You know, if the people could only embrace that tree. And we know that how Jesus Christ came and he was crucified on the tree for the people. So he was alive that flows out from Christ, the tree, and make it sweet. If your life is bitter, just turn to the Lord. If your life is full of sin, just turn to the Lord. You make your life sweet. And the next verse it says, and they came to Elim. There were 12 wells of water, 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. Strangely enough, again, God was, why is all this number pops up? There were 12 wells in the place called Elim. And there were 70 palm trees. 12 wells and 70. That means 70 palm trees. There were 12 wells there and 70 palm trees. What did you think of? There are 12 patriarchs. Yeah? There are 12 apostles. There were 70 chosen. Elders were chosen out of the tribe of Israel. And Jesus sent out 2 by 2, 70 of them through as well. So this number, they're always numbered like this. That God is just showing in the Old Testament. And then how in the New Testament we see these shadows being fulfilled. And that tells us the importance of the way that God deals with people, with his church, to make them see something. Something that represents the good things of God. The patterns and the plan of God. Alright, now in chapter 16, verse 12. From verse 12 onward, they need food. And there was no food. So God then sent them quails. Time again, there's no food. God sent them manna. Now I want you to notice that this whole recording from outside of the moment the exit out of Egypt, they start complaining. They will always complain from the moment they get out. Now, when we get out from the sins of the world into Christ Jesus as a Christian, well, maybe the first few months we're happy as a Christian, no. Then by and by when there is problem, they start coming. We face trials and temptation. We start grumbling too, right? Typical. You're saying. But God is showing us that there are certain times when people like in Israel, the tribe of Israel, there are certain ones that grumble so much that God will have to deal with it. Chapter 17. Here again we have another case of the water issue at Rephidim. In verse 2, wherefore the people did child with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, what do you child with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirst there for water, and the people murmur against Moses. When you speak against Moses, and Moses was a meek man, he said, why do you find fault with me? Why do you murmur against the Lord? Simple question. Instead of us coming together and let us pray together and seek the Lord for an answer, for the Lord to supply the water, you start to charge against me and speak against the Lord. And here he says, God said to Moses in verse 5, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smoke the river. Take it in thy hand and go, and behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the shouting of the children of Israel, and because they kept the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Okay. What is God showing here? That first there was a water that's bitter, and all that was thrown in was a tree. But now God told Moses, stand upon the rock and smite it. And all there was a prefiguration of what was to be that Jesus God was smite. Jesus was smoked once. That's it. There was a show that the water will come from the side of Jesus Christ. Life will come from Jesus Christ. Remember? You see. When you reject, you see, the smiting of the rock is the smiting of Christ, where the water flows out. But when people, when Jesus was judged and he was beaten and, you know, smoke and his back was torn and crowned with a crown of thorns on the head, and on the cross he was pierced on his side, and there water came forth, and that water was to give life to the people, eternal life. But here that it gives life to the people out there in the wilderness. But now the Lord was angry with the children of Israel because they said, is the Lord among us or not? Yeah, here arises the question which I already taught you and answered it. That the children of Israel had the pillar of fire leading them out of Egypt in the night. And in the daytime, the pillar of cloud leads them. Right, you read that in the Bible. But why did they ask the question, is the Lord among us or not? And that will give you an understanding that the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud are not literally there 24 hours. In a movie, the Ten Commandments, you see it, right? Isn't it the pillar of fire? I mean, the way we read the Bible, the pillar of fire. When we talk about the pillar of fire, we always think it like a pillar. You know? The word pillar means what? In the actual sense, means the strength, the support, the leadership. That so and so is a pillar of the government, pillar of organization. If the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud were really dead 24 hours, 12 hours by night, the pillar of fire, 12 hours by day, the pillar of cloud, then the children of Israel would not have asked this question, is the Lord among us or not? How do you answer the question then? The Bible said that the children of Israel were led by the pillar of cloud. You see, when we read the scripture, who was the leader? Moses. He was a prophet of God. In the dead time when he led the children of Israel, he had the leadership of God leading him, the Spirit of God leading him. Perhaps he could see a pillar of cloud in front of him. Maybe a small cloud that is moving, and God is showing to follow this cloud. At night, when they travel, if they need to travel because the daytime might be very hot, the night they might travel in the night for several hours. How then did they follow the pillar of fire? In the night, if Moses were to look up, there might be some light in front of him that God showed him to follow. To say that there is a pillar of fire like you see in the movie Ten Commandments, it is not true. Because if it is true, then the children of Israel should not have lost their faith. Right. But as I said, my Presbyterian friend says, yeah, I might lose my faith, he said. I said, you mean to say that you sit 24 hours every day in the church, you know, then you can lose your faith? He said, yeah. Wow. You know, if I were given an opportunity to see the pillar of fire in reality just one time, that would remind me for the rest of my life. If the pillar of fire is going to move here, that everybody can see, right? That's enough. Will last you for a lifetime. Because you remember that experience. You know. I don't have to see the pillar of fire, literally, to know the reality of the living God. Because I have been touched by His hand. Even in the healing, the supernatural. The one time when the angel of the Lord appeared in the room in India just to speak the word for my son to be healed. That was an experience. It was so enough for me. You know, to have seen the pillar of fire in the cloud 24 hours a day and you can lose your faith. Is God among us or not? Moses would say, what is that? Even out there in the wilderness when they came out there with the tabernacle of Moses, the Bible said that was there. When you read the Bible, that means literally there. Take the Bible literally. There's a lot of things that you take literally, you find that it's just impossible. Huh? Because you need to know the expression. If they were there out there in the wilderness for 40 years seeing the pillar of fire, my goodness. I'd be happy to sit there at night and, you know, around the campfire and see the pillar of fire, we're not going to sleep. And daytime, the pillar of cloud is there. Right? But God told the children, because you murmured so much, 20 years and above, you're all dying out there. You're going to die out there. While you're out there in 40 years with a pillar of fire right there, you still will die. You see. So don't follow the traditional teachings of that. So right now, as they say, the supernature that is in the children of Israel was so deep in them, you know, that even though what God did for them, perform all those miracles, the reality of things, and yet they still could not really believe God. Is God among us or not? Can you believe in your God that you said you have believed all these years? You are born again. Then can you say after 10 years, is God with me all these years? And something is wrong because you don't have the experience then. When I talk about experience, I'm talking about the reality of experiencing the faith. Because you mind, we're talking about the trail of the serpent, we're talking about the trail of your faith. Each every time you move, is your faith aligned? You see? Right? And yet when God told Moses, stand upon the rock, I want you to stand upon the rock and smite it. The reality is there. That God will provide. All this time when Moses, God chose Abraham and bring forth the nation of people. He wanted these people to be special. But so to say, they are not following it. In God dealing with the children of Israel, now we see that God has set up this priesthood where the Levite will minister the word of God in the tabernacle of Moses. There will be the furniture, the Ark of the Covenant, the altar of, good on altar of burnt offering, incense offering. There is seven golden candlesticks and the table of showbread, the brazen laver, and the altar for burnt offering, of sacrifice offering. So all that which was instituted, there's one thing that God specifically wanted the children of Israel to know, and that is in verse 22 of chapter 30 of Exodus. Brother Kaker, can you read verse 22 to 25?
Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of century, and of oil, olive, and thyme. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, and an ointment compound after the art of the
apothecary.
It shall be an holy anointing oil.
Okay, now here is the compound mixed make that God told Moses to take a certain amount of certain spices and make into an holy anointing oil. And then God told Moses to anoint the furniture, you know, and that's in the tabernacle. And then he said in verse 30, And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his son, and consecrate them that they would, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, This shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generation. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured. You see that? Upon man's flesh it shall not be poured. In verse 35, And thou shalt make it a perfume, a confection after the art of the apothecary, tempered together, pure and holy. Verse 36, last part. It shall be unto you most holy. And verse 37, And as for the perfume which thou shalt make, you shall not make to yourself according to the composition thereof. It shall be unto thee holy for the Lord. Whosoever make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. Now, that seems to be quite a big deal, huh? You know, to many people, it's no big deal. God gave this composition to make an anointing oil for ministration in the tabernacle of Moses, for the priesthood to minister unto the Lord, because they were anointed. It's an oil most pure and holy. And anybody who were to imitate this, it would be cut off. So the thing is this, touch not the anointing oil. Now, a lot of people don't seem to understand that, and we have today, you know, the Bible, the Old Testament, they were example for us. They were record for our admonition, for our understanding that there are certain things we cannot do, cannot touch. The anointing oil, the Holy Spirit upon His Word. We know that that's what the anointing is, the crystal. The Christ, the Word, the anointing Word that flows from God. It cannot be upon anybody. You cannot let anybody simply handle it. You cannot imitate it. The ministry of God, Aaron was called to be a high priest. His son was called to be priests. If God never called the other tribe, none of them can be. So you don't touch those things that belongs to the Lord. That you don't touch things that belongs to the Most Holy. And which only God chose, we are the only one that can handle it. No impersonation. No imitation. But we see a lot of them today. So if we are God's people, follow the Spirit of the Lord. Don't be like Korah later on, you can see. Wanted to be someone like Moses. Chapter 32. And I'll read verse 1 to 10. Brother Henry. Exodus 32, verse 1 to 10.
Exodus chapter 32, verse 1 to 10. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down off of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron, and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which are in their ear, and brought them unto Aaron, and received them at their hand, and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after that he made a molten calf, and he said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And he rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go get thee down for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it. And have sacrificed thereunto, and said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. And now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may not wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation.
Amen. Well, I think the story we all know so very well. Moses is up there in Mount Sinai. 40 and 49, getting all the instructions from the Lord to build, you know, the tabernacle. God was giving him the Ten Commandments. A lot of instruction was given out there for 40 days, 40 nights. And do you think that Moses was up there with some pens and paper or tape recorder to record everything God said? Because a whole lot of instruction, you know. And how did he get all this in his head? Because vision was showing to him. So God said, when you build the tabernacle, build according to that which I showed you on the mount. And God always shows the vision. So that when Moses looked at it, he'll remember. So he was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people down in Mount Sinai, they know that all the rumbling of the mount, you know, the clouds over there, and there were lightning and thundering and they say, well, maybe Moses died already. We do not know. So Aaron, get up. Build us, make us gods. How many people were there in this whole nation of Israel? We said, well, 2 million people will come up. Israelite. They are estimated by many. With the calculation, you know, of so many years, and maybe there's another million of mixed multitude because of intermarriage for maybe Persian that comes by, whatever. Some people have experimented to 3 to 4 million. But I think 2 to 3 million is a whole lot already. Now, they have seen the power of God. They have seen how did God provide water for them. Quail from them when they grumble about quail, no food. Manna where they are. And now, they ask Aaron to make them gods. Can you fathom that? Make us God. You make God, and God make you. Make us God to worship. That's how foolish can people be. They make with their hands out of clay an idol. Or from wood, carve it out. Metal, carve it out. Or a painting on a piece of paper and say, This is my God. children of Israel have seen the power of God. They have seen the reality. And yet, they still cannot believe. Right? Make us gods. The word gods in your King James Version is plural, that's correct. Because that's what the word translated from the Hebrew word Elohim. And I always tell you this, whether our God is Elohim, or any God is still Elohim. To many people, it's just the Hebrew word Elohim. Someone of power is always called Elohim. That's why the song is kind of funny when we say God is Elohim. God is Elohim, of course. But our God is not Elohim. Because other God is also Elohim. We can only say one thing, our Elohim is Jehovah. Our Elohim is Yahweh. Or we can say, Yahweh is the only Elohim. So the word sometimes it's not used right. So now, let us go. Now what did the Bible tell us this? Aaron said to them, break off the golden earring which is in your ear of your wife, your son, and your daughter, and bring them unto me. Why only earring? The Bible even tells us it's only very typical. I don't know whether they only have earrings. They have only the gold from the earring. Do you know what earrings in your ear represents? Do you know when you have a hole in those days, they don't have modern ear ring, huh? Where you clip on, you know? You can clip on. You know that, huh? In those days, there's no clip on. They punch a hole and they hook it. Now when you're hooking on, it means to say you are slave. You are being handcuffed. So your ear is being ear cuffed. And you are hard of hearing. Literally. Break it out from your ear. Your wife, your son. Wow, your son. Even men in those days do it. Why did this children of Israel wear an earring? Because they were slaves in Egypt. Huh? And before they were slaves in Egypt, remember they were mixing with all the other nations as well? Remember Joseph was sold to Potiphar in Egypt. Before that, did they have trading with the Midianite, the Ishmaelites, right? And many of these people, Ishmaelites, is typical. They always wear earring, the male. And now your son are following it. And all those now you're in Egypt, you are following it too. They didn't remove it. No wonder they really slave. How long do you want to be slave? To your sins, to the things of the world. Being slave. To the desire of heart, to the carnality. You know. So we took off and then what we have? Yeah, here comes a golden calf. One golden calf, yet it's called Elohim. So Elohim is not plural in numbers. It's plural in magnificence. In grandiose. Huh? Our God is Elohim. He's great. Magnificent. And the idol worshiper, when they build a golden calf or build whatever, this is magnificent. This is Elohim too, they will call it. That's what the word Elohim means, that's all. Not the Trinity. Now, up there in the mountain, God knows what's going on. And God said to Moses, look what God said to Moses in verse 7. And Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. Moses, you better get down. Your people have corrupted themselves. Moses' people. Why was that God said, your people? Because he was a leader. He's accountable. Now God warned him, your people are corrupt, better go down. But God was so angry with the people and he told Moses. Verse 9. I have seen these people, and behold, they are stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, and my wrath may wax hot against them, that I may consume them and make of thee a great nation. I will destroy them all, and from you I will start over again. That's how God, when he's angry, he's really angry. And verse 11, and Moses brought the Lord, besought the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, why do thy wrath wax hot against your people? Now he put it back to God. Now, there's one thing about, that's why I said this, in those days when I was praying to the Lord, I was just kind of a bit, when I was young, kind of look at God as awesome and very kind of dreadful, you know, you approach him like very timid. Huh? You know. But then I realized the more that I realized, oh, God really liked the whole conversation with people. He liked to fully talk with people and want to get your response and how you respond to him. Yeah. He said, come, let us reason together. And Moses said, your people. What are you so angry with your people? So he was standing in the gap between God and Israel. You know, when God gets angry, he will do it to destroy. But there is always his people, his chosen one, they were there to stand in the gap. So Moses stood in the gap. But Jesus stood in the gap for us. You know, because God is going to destroy everybody here in the world because of sin. And Jesus said, before you destroy my people, my bride, my wife, you have to take me first. He stood before God and defend his people. Moses did just that. So you see how that faith, you can see the trail of the faith that you begin from the days back in the garden, Adam, right down to all those firstborn. And then you see Noah. You see Enoch. Huh? You see Abraham that was chosen, who stand for the faith. Isaac, even though he had a problem too, even Jacob, yet they stand for the faith. Yeah, we are all not perfect. And I was looking at Jacob. How many times Jacob, you know, was so conniving, you know? Very deceiving, a deceiver. But God had to put him to a test. And finally, the end of it, Jacob realized. And he won the battle and overcame. And that's what God says, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but you shall be called Israel. So there must come the point of time in our life that we overcome. Huh? Yes. We will shall overcome. I also want. The Bible said, he that overcome shall grant to be seated with me. He that overcome will have this. He that overcome will have this. Yes. So our life is on a trial as we move on. Chapter 32 and verse 21 onward.
Chapter 32, verse 21 and 24. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did these people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For he said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we were not what is become of him. And I said unto him, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out his cup.
Right. Aaron was just giving excuses, you know. You know when you are the leader, when you are a leader, now Moses up there, now Aaron was become the leader, right? They look to him. And when pressure was on him, tendency that they give in, he'll give in. And it's just like political nations of the world, when the people do not like the certain government, they call it people's power, it will topple the government. So it's just the same here. But here they're saying that you are an individual. I'm an individual. My presence comes on you. What would you do? As far as your faith, when your faith is concerned, would you give in? Like Aaron. Or would Aaron just say, no! I cannot meet your God. No. He gave in. He compromised. And that's only one trait of the serpentine nature in us. When we compromise, that shows the weakness. And God is showing that in the Bible, there are different characters. Even men like Moses, weakness. When God told him to speak to the rock, he's smiling in his anger. Huh? Aaron was supposed to be a high priest who ministered to God in the sanctuary. And yet he did these things. It shows the weakness. Weakness is one thing that God can overlook. But when he teach you about your weakness and you realize it, you must overcome. We can always blame it on our weakness. The devil make me do it. No. And Aaron was telling Moses, they make me do it. Put the gold ring in the fire, out came this golden calf. Just an excuse. And verse 25 said, when Moses saw that the people were naked, the word here naked means what? Not because they were literally naked, they didn't have any clothes on. No, they have the clothes on. Their naked means they were out of control, they were corrupt. Any time when you go against the word of God, you are called a naked person. In the book of Laodicea, remember? Remember the religion church age? The book of Revelation, I mean. In the last church age, we are need of nothing. We are rich. And God said, yeah, you have everything, but you don't realize you are naked. You are naked when you don't have the word of God. You are naked when you don't have the truth of God in your life. You are naked when you rebel against God. You know, we have this message that God sent to us through the prophet. What did they do with the message? What a mess out there. And they don't realize that they were naked. Yeah, they said we have the message. We believe our prophet. So what the tape said. They don't realize that they were naked. The denomination likewise. Oh, we believe Jesus. We believe the gospel. Good. They don't even realize that they were naked. They don't. Yeah, they may say they have the gospel. It's just like a woman out there wearing miniskirt. And what we call that? Tank top. No, not tank top. Woman dress, you know, like a singlet, only halfway they can see the belly button. What do you call that? Huh? You know what I mean? Like a man's singlet, only that is only half. Huh? Mini top. Whatever. You know, that is what it is. You may have something on you, but you are still naked. You know what is a proper covering, right? Yes. God wants to cover you with His Word. Completely. But it's only I have the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm saved. Yeah. The foolish virgin is sent out there. In Matthew 25. Foolish virgin. Jesus Christ said, I never knew you. Depart from me. Yes. They have a dream. But the Lord says, I never knew you. Because Jesus wanted to clothe her properly. God wanted to clothe us properly. Not just a little bit. Not a fig leaf. That's why Adam and Eve think that fig leaf would do. Huh? And a lot of people in the beach in America, in European country, maybe Singapore, somewhere, they only clothe with fig leaf in the swimming pool. When they go out there. They don't realize that they are naked. A woman walking the streets in mini skirts and all, shorts, they don't realize they are naked. They are sinners. We understand. We are no judge. But people who call themselves Christian dress like that and say it's okay, something is wrong. If God's an Aaron, say, it's okay, give me your earring, I'll make you gods. But on the other hand, God says, Moses, move aside. I'm going to destroy all of them. Moses said, you want to do that to your people? And he stood between the gap, in the gap between God and the people. So what are we? What kind of spirit do we have? Don't let that supernatural nature pops up and take the battle of you. Alright. And so God sent the angel to kill all those who, you know, throughout the camp, those that are disobedient. One thing about it, about Moses now, let's read over here. Verse 31 to 35. Perhaps we read that. Chapter 32, verse 31 to 35.
Chapter 32, verse 31 to 35. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever have sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, my angels shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit that sin upon them. And the Lord saved the people because they made the cow which Aaron made.
Right. Kind of strong for Moses to stand in the gap so strongly, huh? Forgive the people. Lord, forgive them. If not, then take my life. That's what Christ did. That's what Moses was, a type of Christ. The Bible said that the Lord, as Moses said, the Lord, like thy God, will raise up a prophet like unto me. And him you must hear, or else be cut off. Moses was a type of Christ to stand in the gap. Before you take the people, if you don't forgive them, you take my life then. And God says, I will only take the life of those who sin against me. I'll blot their name out of the book of life. In the day, when God said, in the day when they sin, I will visit them. So the Bible just say to us, be sure your sin will find you out. You can't run away with that. You cannot hide it. Alright, let's go now to the next chapter here in Numbers chapter 12. Alright, Numbers chapter 12. People, the children of Israel, they always look to Moses. And I think that's one of the problems that humans have as well. Believer, Christian. You look at the tree of the serpent, God of children, the children of Israel, out they go, out they went from the land of Egypt to the land that God promised. They're God's people. Right? And they have a leader, Moses. So out of this problem, they came to Moses and challenged him and complained against him. It's always the leader. They look to the leader, who provides this, provides that. Because God left us here to die. You brought us here to die. They always look to Moses. But Moses is just a man. He was just a man. You know. He said, oh, pray to the Lord and see what he would do. It's okay to look to the prophet. It's okay to look to men of God for help, for answers. But you know, Israel have been for so long have seen the miracles of God, the power of God, and yet they cannot look to God. They cannot even come to Moses and say, Moses, shall we not look to the Lord? Huh? Look to the Lord with us. No. They just go to him and look to him. And today we have seen the same problem existing in the entire message. Even after Abraham is gone, they still look to Abraham for answer. Answers in the tapes. A tape that had been around. for the last 50, 60 years when Brother Branham stopped preaching. And it all was the messages that Brother Branham preached to give us an understanding of the Word. But no, they want to find answers in that for their life. Why can they not look to the Bible for their understanding, for their Christian life? Huh? We sing the song. Even somebody wrote that. God's alive. What's the song called? God's alive, leading the way. He brought us to this hour and day. Huh? So if God's alive, leading the way, why are they still looking to the prophet who's gone 50, 60 years already? If God is alive, the word must be real. Huh? You know, when Moses was gone, in the day of Jesus Christ, the Pharisees, we are Moses. Right? They kept looking back to Moses. Oh, the great prophet of old, the ancestor prophet. Yeah, it's there. But God moves on. There was not just Moses. There were others that came along. Joshua, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and the last prophet they had was Malachi. And then came John the Baptist. They cannot accept. Why? God is dead, it seems. God is not moving except by the books. This Bible is our book. God is moving, right? Is that right? He's not moving by the book as black words on white paper. He's moving by His Word, which means to say the revelation that flows from Him. Remember we all said this Bible is the Word of God, right? How many know where the Bible is the Word of God? We say that because it's the Word of God. You say that God give us this book. His book. But this book is just black words on white paper. And if you don't have the revelation of it, this word is not alive. It's not real to you. Remember that? Huh? So you will open John 3:16. You can read it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Good. Good. What else? You just say, oh, I believe that. That's it. Or some people say, yeah, that's good, but they don't even know what it means. And if they go around and say, yeah, I've read the Bible. Yeah, no, I have friends who are not Christian. They say, have you read the Bible? Yeah, I've read the Bible, John 3:16. That's it. And they think that's real to them. But you know one thing, this book is just like any other book on the table. Huh? Only that it was authored by God. But it's just like any book on the table. If this book is not alive and real to you, you read from Genesis to Revelation like a novel, you'll do you no good. You understand what I'm saying? How many people, I don't know how many of you, when you were in secondary school, take religious knowledge? How many of you? You do, yeah. So what good does it do to you? Is that religious knowledge? What does it do to you, right? You just only know what the religion teaches you and what this book speaks about. That's all. You know? So when you read this book, when you study this book, don't treat this book like a religious knowledge. A book for religious knowledge, no. You treat it like it's life. That God is feeding you. Understand what He's trying to tell you. By the revelation of the Spirit that God speaks to you. Yes. That's why God opened my eyes to the Word. You see? Huh? God's Word is like a lamp unto my pathway. Not this Word. The revelation of the real thing, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was begun, the Word was God. That Word, the revelation that which came from, comes up from God. Okay, but now in chapter 12, we want to look at this case about Miriam and Aaron. Okay, chapter 12, verse 1 to 9. Alright, can you read? Chapter 12, verse 1 to 9.
And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, "Come out of ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud, and stood in the door of the tabernacle, and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed.
And yes, and Miriam became leprous. Now, let us touch a little bit about this, because there's a lot of idea about this passage. Verse 1 said that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he married. Who was this Ethiopian woman? Because we know he's his wife, but who was this? In Hebrew, in the Jewish traditional, you know, they have all their records, whatever, the so-called interpretation, whatever. They said that this was the second wife of Moses. But the Bible never mentioned about Moses' first wife. Okay? And then some said, no, Zipporah was not the second wife. Zipporah, this is the Ethiopian woman, was the first wife. Okay? No, Zipporah was the first wife. But this Ethiopian woman was not Zipporah. And so they are saying that the opinion they have is whether this woman was Zipporah or not. And if it was Zipporah, why did Moses marry an Ethiopian woman? And so here we have Believe the Sun. Posted on the, well, not really posted, I think maybe they have it, but they wrote an article, you know, about 4 years back when Jeff Jenkins left the message. Because of all that thing that he had been taught, Jeff Jenkins taught the message for 33 years. And because of the controversy that was put up by the Believe the Sun, he was so confused, he left the message. And this Believe the Sun therefore wrote an article, and then spread it out, and sent it out by email. And I was sent a copy of it by someone who forwarded to me, and asked me to contribute to what, you know, could be the truth. So, they are saying, you see, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses for marrying or intermarried someone who is black. And Brother Frank was so much against white people marrying black woman or white woman marrying black man in America. So you see, Brother Bram do not agree intermarriage. And yet Moses intermarried to a black woman. So you see the argument? And because Miriam was upset about Moses marrying an Ethiopian woman, she was smite down by God with leprosy. So your leprosy became white. You know, when you have leprosy, you're white. So now it's dangerous to speak against a black man or a black woman because you can become white, extremely white. You want to be pure white, you'll get pure white. So that's the argument they have. Really? I was thinking that's good. You know, this is funny, but I was thinking that even denomination were always mistaken this. What was this problem here? Why did God smite Miriam with leprosy? Was it because he spoke against Moses over him marrying a Ethiopian woman? Or is it something else? Because I read the first verse, and then the first verse is the reason for it. You know something? If I have a grudge with you, something really bad with you, I will bring up some silly little thing first. Some little small thing, huh? Then go against you. The real thing. You know what I'm saying? That was just an excuse. The real problem with Miriam and Aaron was not about them getting upset with Moses marrying the Ethiopian woman. After all, if the Ethiopian woman was Zipporah, he already been married for long. Because Moses had how many sons? 3 sons. Huh? You see? So why not that you bring it up? Some people say, well, therefore it's not Zipporah. It must be a real Ethiopian woman. Now, the word Utopia, it's not quite the right word to use. The translation is not quite wrong, quite right. Actually, it's called Cushite. Oh, Cushite. And then it came down from what line? Cush. Huh? King's line. Not so good. Right? Ham's line. Not so good. But you see, the word Cushite is just a name, which also embraces. Can you, for example, let me tell you this. Malaya. You know Malaysia? Now it's called Malaysia. Before it was called Malaya. Correct? So people who live there in Malaya are called Malayan. So if you happen to be a Chinese and you live in Malaya and you're called Malayan, right? But Malay come from Malay. Malay are all black. Or brown. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, just because it was called Cushite, doesn't mean that Zipporah was a Cushite, in a sense. But it's actually that the word Cushite also can come from the word Midianites. Because the land of Ethiopia, or you said the Cushite, actually embraces what we know of Ethiopia today. All the way on the eastern side of the Red Sea, up north to Egypt, and onto the west, to the, what we call the Arabia land, the eastern part, or the western part, border the Red Sea. And that's where Moses, now the Bible did not tell us that Moses has 2 wives. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? The Bible didn't tell us the one son. You only know that he only got 1 wife. And the Bible listed up that he had 3 sons and 1 wife. And so the only wife we know of is Zipporah. And Zipporah came from the Midianites. Zipporah's father was Jethro. Or Reuel. In another place, his name was changed to Reuel. I don't know why. But who are the Midianites? Where did the Midianite come from? Huh? Come from the name of a son called Midian, who was a son and descendant from who? Keturah. And who was Keturah? The wife of Abraham. So it was a distant relative. But because the word translated Ethiopian, some people just go back and translate the word Cushite. And they need to know why it's Cushite. Just a place. The native people live there called Cushite. Sometimes they thought the Bible used the word. Huh? You know, Abraham came down from Ur of Mesopotamia. Ur of Chaldea, right? Well, anybody who come across from that side, whatever race that come from across that side, down to Canaan, all those people in this side, down in this Canaan land, will call these people what? Hebrew. Correct? Yes? These people from that other side, whether regardless of what race they are, Hebrew. Means they come from that side. Now, when I go to America, and if you all go to America or Europe, if they look at you, oh, you're from China. That's where you look Chinese, right? You know that, don't you? Yeah. You see? They don't know your nationality, but because you look Chinese, you're not Chinese. Huh? And you know that the Filipino, the native Filipino, they all came from the Archipelagoan race, all the way from east of Papua New Guinea to go right down to Myanmar, down to Malaysia, huh? All the way to Indonesia, all the way to the Philippines. They are all from the same race of people. Right? What were they usually called? The Archipelagoan. But today, Filipino, Malay, Myanmar, different, right? What's the difference between the Indian and the Pakistanis and the Bangladeshi? Where did the Bangladeshi come from? Because there was Bangladesh, there was no Bangladesh, there was East Pakistan. So when you get the name of it, people use it, just find an answer. And so what was the reason that God smited Miriam? Leprosy. How come he didn't strike Aaron? Because Miriam was the one who caused the trouble. Why we say, Chocho, Malaya, put fire. You know, Miriam, well, she was a prophet, she could prophesy. Yeah, I know. Aaron was a high priest. Yeah. But then, what does Miriam want? The race of Asia. Oh, Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Come on, what do you raise of Yeshua after you know that, you know, here are so many, the children are all down. Why don't you raise the problem with Moses? Hey, why are you marrying a Ethiopian woman? Should have done that long ago. Huh? You bring up some problem. That's not the case. The case is this. Verse 2. They said, have the Lord indeed spoken by him? Have you not spoken by me? Us also. The real problem is not about him. About Moses marrying Ethiopian. It's just an excuse to raise a problem. And Aaron was a, you know, Aaron was the second born, right? Remember Aaron was second born? He was 3 years older than Moses. And Miriam at least 4 years older than him. So, yeah, sister, yes. Yeah, Aaron's sister, yes. You know, Miriam. After all, he was a big babysitter for them both. And now, the question is this. Hey, did not God speak by us also? Only by him? Then God heard it to call the three of them to go to the tabernacle, right? And when what did God talk to them about? Bring Moses in, Aaron in, Miriam in. Then he called only the two of them to come out. Miriam and Aaron. And he told them. What did he say to them? Well, let's go to it. verse 6. Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house? With him I will speak mouth to mouth. See, the grumbling is about God speak to us also. They come. Away from Moses. So the Moses would not listen and say, I see that. But so can get brought a little bit, maybe. Let me talk to you both. You claim that you hear from me? Yeah, if there's a prophet, yes, they will hear from me. But not the way that I deal with Moses, my servant. I speak to him mouth to mouth, not in vision and dream alone. So, what is the real reason? If it was because they were unhappy with Moses marrying a Ethiopian woman, God would say, come here. Why don't you raise up the issue before when he was married? On that particular day, when Moses took a Ethiopian wife. He shall raise it up. What do people interpret the Bible always? I never say anybody else. They always said that it was because Miriam was not happy with Moses marrying a Ethiopian woman. That's why God put leprosy in her. No. It was because they claimed that they hear from God and they want to be a part of this ministry. You know, they have their ministry. Aaron and his own ministry, stay in that place. Don't murmur against somebody else who has something higher than them. And this is what is going on, and that's where the problem is. Somebody always wants to be better than the other guy. And they just make a whole mess of their life of people. Look at Amos in Nigeria. Huh? Call himself an apostle. Not an apostle, he calls himself a little apostle. And what did he teach? Many of them are just like that. Scary. Alright, let's continue now. So that superman nature comes up very strongly, huh? Very strong. That's not good. Individual, not just a group. And God smite Miriam. Moses said, Aaron said to Moses, please tell the Lord not to do that, please. And Moses entreated the Lord, and the Lord removed that leprosy away from her. Just imagine that. And now we have chapter 13. Here we have the 12 spies. They went in, one spy of every tribe. And they went in and spied out the land. Wonderful. They should be eager to look at the land. And this opportunity, God said, now go and spy out the land. Moses said, go. What do you think of spy out the land? Spy out what? Spy out for spies? Spy out for a giant? No. To spy out that means to, what do you call it? Recce the land. Look at the land. See how good it is. And each of you from each different tribe, go look all over the place. Maybe later on you can choose wherever you want to go. And we will see. And divide it for you. Right. You know, if I'm given a choice that I to spot or land, God said, I'm giving it to you. Oh, so go and look at it first. Which portion I want. And they went in. And you know what they have? Look at verse 23. They came unto the brook of Eshcol, and they cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they have it buried upon between two upon a staff. And you see how big the cluster of grapes is? Two persons have to carry one cluster. You know how big is a cluster of grapes today? About like this. Maybe a kilo? Or maybe a kilo and a half? But this one, you need two people to carry between a stick. Now, I don't know whether the cluster of grapes is the same size of a grape today, or is it the size of a grape is like a tennis ball. I don't know. It's pretty big for them. You need two people to carry. How many kilos do you think that cluster of grapes will weigh? That you need two persons to carry a cluster of grapes? What is the weight you think you need to? Huh? If you can carry two hands, how many kilos can you carry with each hand? How much can you carry? This must be so big that you need two persons to put it on your shoulder, you know? So how rich is that land? They went in this part of the land, and they were searching it for 40 days. 40 days, they spent 40 days. And they came out, and they report, yeah, the land on milk and honey, verse 24, or 27. But then they say, the city was walled up, very great. And we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekite dwells in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell in by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people and said, shut up. And he said, just let us go up at once now and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the man that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we, and have brought an evil report, which they have searched unto the land of Israel, saying, the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it, in the land is a land that eat up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giant, the son of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in their own sight, in our own sight, as grasshopper, and so we were in their sight. Three times. See the word here? Verse 28. We saw the children of Anak. Verse 32, we saw the men of great stature, means giants. We saw Anak, giants. And verse 33, we saw the giants. We came, we saw, we didn't conquer. They went in there, what did they see? What did they now report? They say, we went in, we saw the grapes, large cluster. We saw the pomegranate. We saw the banana, big banana. We saw the watermelon. Oh my. No. We saw giants. We saw giants. We saw giants 3 times. They say the word, we saw, we saw, we saw. What do you see? In your faith, what do you see? When trouble comes, what do you see? I saw trouble. I saw trouble. That's the second time nature speaking. I see problem. I see problem. There will always be problem. So what do you see? I see solution. Is it possible? But the solution is not coming. The only is coming from the Lord. Have patience. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord. It's because you don't wait. So, they cannot take the people. You see, they said, look at what he says here in the last verse. We were in our sight as grasshopper. We were in our sight, not the giant sight. You know what I'm saying? In the outside, if they say, oh, you're a grasshopper, that's one thing. But you see that we are a grasshopper. We in our service, that's a grasshopper. You're already defeated. Is that the truth? How big are the giants now? 8 feet maybe? No, all of them are very, very big, like a lion or something. Huh? They might be 7.5 feet, 8 feet, yeah. But how many are really there, that big? How many giants are really there? Over 100, maybe there are 1 or 2. Over 1,000, how many? 20, 30, 100? But they're so afraid of. When God already promised you the land, means you will take it. He'll fight for you. That's what Moses said. He will fight for you. Because you're not fighting in your own battle. God is fighting for you. You just have to have faith. That's right. So, we have then, well, when he came out of Egypt, and Moses said, God is going to bring us to a promised land. Good land. Really? Yes, good land. Really? Yeah. Good. They will help you going up there. This problem came, the grumble, this problem came, grumble. And then one day, after all the grumbling, Moses said, now take one of each tribe of your men and go spout the land. Really good. We are going to spout the land now. They went in. But the first thing they see, oh, the land was beautiful. They see all the cluster of grass on it. When you see the giant, different story. Believers, yeah, when people, everything's a spy and Danny, everything is smooth and good, I'm a believer. Huh? When trouble comes, I'm not a believer. I still remember how the pastor of the church here, the first church, can tell the congregation, you know, when some believer brought in so many converts from the Singapore Airlines and the staff resigned, especially the ladies. And there was this report in the paper about Singapore Airlines recruiting more staff. And so the journalists went and asked what has going on. And so they got the news how many people resigned because of some Christian faith. So it was in the paper. The pastor brought it, the paper, to the church the following Sunday. That's what the brother told me. He loved the church. Show it to the church. He said, if the government step in, I will tell them, you are not my people. Wow. They come in, they told me that. They laughed and they came to our fellowship for 2 years and left. See that? Huh? When everything's fine, they welcome big people to the church so that there's more money. I'm happy as a pastor. But when trouble comes, you are not my people. Think about that leadership. Instead of standing in the gap, right? What are people afraid of the government? But we are living in a land where there's freedom of worship. Only that you don't go and create trouble. Speaking against and condemning all their religion and speak evil of their leader or what, something like that, directly. You know, what would you be afraid of? And I said this, if there be a person that should be afraid, should be me. Because I stand and preach hard. Right? You know, my name is already on the internet, on all the Google and all the digital, and it's all up there. So the period comes that I will be, the Antichrist spirit is going to move very strongly, I'll be the one to go. Well, are you afraid of death? Are you afraid of death? Sooner or later, we are going to die. But die in integrity. Die with faith. Not selling out your birthright. Not selling out your brothers and sisters in Christ. How terrible it must be. Alright. So now, we have here the 10 big believers, or unbelievers, we can call them that, and we too believe. Only Joshua and Caleb. Just think about that. Huh? Your sight versus your faith. Seeing is believing. Oh, I'm sorry. Is it? Is seeing believing? I see, then I can believe. Show me God. Then I'll believe. Huh? What did Bob Graham say? He said, believing is seeing. When you believe, then you can see. You know, back in those days, when I read about Brother Abraham's testimony about speaking the word, huh? And he had 5 times experience of speaking the word, and I said, true ministry must have the experience. And I was looking forward to have such an experience. And that's when I was in India, my son at that time when he was 13 years old. You know. And I believe I said the right word. When the believer came around, he says, pray again, we should take your son to a specialist. Because 3 days already, Zohar was very sick. Diarrhea and vomiting, couldn't eat. And that was the third night. I said, well, but tonight, tomorrow, if my son is not well, then I'll take him to the specialist. But I said this, Jesus Christ is my specialist. And it was at that night that the angel came at 12 midnight. About 20 minutes later, when I put my head up to put him to bed, then I lied down. 20 minutes, I was woken up by the presence at the foot of my bed. Speak the word. 3 words just like that. As clear as I could hear it. Speak the word. And I couldn't do it. I didn't ask anything more. I didn't make any wonder. I just got out of my bed, stretched my hand, and just speak the word over him. And then my mom, I just said, I want to know. I will get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I was dead tired, you know. At 6 o'clock, I just got up without alarm clock, nothing. Exactly 6 a.m. And I saw him in bed still lying there. I put my head under his bed sheet, as far as whether there is any diarrhea there. I just put it in. It was dry. I went to the toilet and looked whether there was any vomiting or all water or not, which he used to do for the last 3 days. Nothing. I go back to bed and said, I want to get up at 8 o'clock. I got up at 8 o'clock exactly again, and he was not in the bed. The bed was dry, I went to the toilet, dry. And so I went out to the door, there was someone there, and I said, where's my son? Oh, your son. He was sick many days. Now he got up, he ate a big breakfast. I said, where is he? He's up there on the roof, watching the eagle. And I stood at the door, I said, Lord, thank you. I could not forget that. you know, I believe and I want to see. Because I know probably I've experienced five times, said, Lord, I want to have that. Because I believe in that. Because the spoken word is life. Speaking the word of truth gives life. Now how can you say that ever I can forget about God? No, I can't. Is God with me or not? Can I say, Lord, are you with me? I'm going to be kidding to ask that question. Because I know He's real. As real as I see you. Remember that. So don't let the supernatural nature that is in us that we have, because it's there and we're all mixed. Don't let the carnality come up. Don't let Satan poke it up and push it forward. That you will deny Christ or you will speak against Christ or you will speak against anything in a contrary to the word. When problem comes, when trial comes, stand and believe. Just believe. That's all that you can do. Only believe. And exercise that faith. Let the trail of your faith move on. Let us go on with the trail as God put it before us. Right? And let leave that trail of the serpent behind us. Whatever we have done wrong, we learn and move forward. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the reality, Lord, that you reveal yourself to us and make us to see who we are. We thank you for your love. Your word is true. Your word is wonderful. Your word, O Father, Lord, is food to our life and water to our thirsting soul. We thank you for thy spirit of life too, Lord. Continue to walk in us, Father. In this world that we live in, we're coming to the end of the year 2017. Many have expected, Lord, that you will return soon. We do not know how soon, Father, that the Lord Jesus will come for us. But as long as we are here, let our faith be strong. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father. We bless your wonderful name. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.